Better than the Chiefs. Amen. Come on, we have a greater reason to celebrate. Do we have any 49ers fans? No? Do we have any Kansas City fans? We got a few. But do we have any Jesus fans in the place today? Amen. You're on the winning side no matter what. You're on the winning side. We know the end of the story. We know the end where Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire and Jesus wins. Amen. God's people win every single time. Amen. We are victorious. You are victorious. The enemy cannot have you. Amen. I don't care what you're going through this morning. This is just a side note. It's not my message. But I don't care what you're going through this morning. You are a winner because Jesus says it is finished. It is finished. You've already won. He's already won. If you have Jesus on the inside of you, guess what? You're on the winning side. Amen? You can't be defeated. You cannot be defeated. The only way that you can lose is if you throw in the towel, if you call it quits, if you say, I had enough. That's the only way that you will lose. Isn't that encouraging this morning? Praise God. Amen. So this series, hopefully you've enjoyed it thus far. And so we talked about binging the Bible and we talked about the soap method, how we were to look at Scripture, observe it, and apply it to our lives and pray about Scriptures. And hopefully you guys have taken the task and begin to join us, even with our reading plan as we go through the Bible in a year. If you're not with our reading plan, just find some plan, get into the Bible, binge the Bible, because it is life-changing. Amen? And then last week we talked about cultivating a heart of worship. And so that's kind of what we did this morning. We said, God, we're just allowing you to be enthroned upon our hearts. We lay ourselves down so that you can be lifted up, oh Lord. And so we begin to worship corporately. But we also hope that you are worshiping like alone, like in your bedroom or in that quiet place, wherever it is that you have that quiet place with the Lord, that you find yourself in moments of worship. And we talked about how we can, like on the way to work, on the way to school, listening to the radio or looking at the stars or looking at creation, and how we can let that turn our hearts to worship God. This morning, we want to talk about prayer. And how many of you guys know that prayer is so powerful? Amen. It is one of the most powerful tools that you have as a believer, that you actually have this direct connection to God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, that you can actually go before God and make your petitions known to Him. And not only can you make your petitions known to Him, He is a God who hears your prayers and He answers your prayers. Now, sometimes the answer is no. We don't like that one too much. Sometimes the answer is yes, but not right now. And then sometimes the answer is yes. That's according to my will. That's the prayer I want you to pray. I'm going to answer that. How many of you guys have ever prayed something, and then like maybe like the day after you find out like your prayer was answered? I mean, this happens like all the time when we pray for certain people, certain individuals in our church, and then we hear that God just miraculously moved in their lives. It happens like that sometimes. Not always, but sometimes it happens like that. And it's just like God just showing you, look, I'm listening. I hear your prayer. And He just lets us know how valuable we are to Him. Amen. We are His children. And whenever my children ask me of something, if it's within my ability to do it, I will certainly do it, you know, because they are my kids. I love them, right? And so it is as our Heavenly Father. We are His children. And so today we want to talk about prayer. We want to look at a man, one of my favorite men of the Bible, Daniel. And we will be in chapter 6 of Daniel. So if you open up your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, we're going to find that Daniel was a man who prayed no matter what. Amen. And so I hope that this message is instilled into you that you learn to pray no matter what. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 28, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the king 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could not find no ground for a complaint or any fault because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. It should stop right there. What a testimony to be found that these men who were so jealous of Daniel, who were trying to find something wrong with him, could not find anything wrong with Daniel. He was a man of integrity. He did what he was supposed to do. And whenever the enemy came to try to destroy his life, they could find no reason to come against Daniel. Man, wouldn't you want that to be the testimony of your life? That if someone tried to dig into your life and try to find something wrong, they would say, there is no fault in him. There is no fault in her. That's an incredible testimony in itself. That's just a side note. I'm not even going to charge you for that one. Verse 4, I'm just picking. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O king Darius, live forever. You know, they were really brown-nosing the situation here. Verse 7, all the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, I believe the reason why Daniel was found to have an excellent spirit, why he was distinguished above all, why he had God's favor upon his life, and why there was no ground for complaint is because Daniel was a faithful man, and he was faithful to prayer. He had a lifestyle of praying to his God. And as we will learn a little bit later, three times a day, just continually praying before the Lord. And so whenever the enemy tried to come and tried to, you know, whenever, let's just say something, as whenever you have a prayer life such as Daniel had, and God begins to bestow upon you his favor, and he begins to bless you, and he begins to multiply you, that the world will become jealous of the favor of God upon your life, and they will try to destroy that. Has anybody ever witnessed that before? You know, you're on your job and you just show up, you do what you're supposed to do, you give it your very best, and you do it unto the Lord, and the Lord will multiply you, and people will become jealous. I've seen this in my own life for sure. And they try to diminish you, they try to tear apart your work, they try to find some kind of accusation where they can discredit you and discredit your God. But ultimately, as a child of God, man, there's nothing like being in his favor. There's nothing like his blessing being upon you. Amen. And I believe it stems from, in Daniel's case, from having a healthy prayer life in his life, just being faithful to that. So these men was, so whenever they realized that they could not get him in his work, notice what they came after. They came after his prayer life. They said, well, we can't find anything wrong with Daniel. Let's go after that thing that makes him unique. Let's go after that thing that makes him special. They knew that somehow, some way, that his prayer life was tied to his success. And if we can go after his prayer life, if we can make him not pray anymore, then he would not be in God's favor anymore, and he will be just as one of us. The enemy is after your prayer life. I mean, he will try to distract you and try to get you busy doing other things so that your prayer life seems less important, because he knows that if you as a believer would begin to spend time in prayer, that you would be unstoppable, because that is where our strength is. That is where our power is. And he's coming after your prayer life, because he knows, the enemy knows, that there is strength in that. Amen. There is strength in it. And it is something that God has given us as believers, where we have this privilege to come boldly to the throne room of God and find grace. God has given that to us, and the enemy will try to stop that, just as we find in this story today. So when they knew that they couldn't get Daniel in any other way, he said, "We know how to get him. We're going to stop his prayer life, that thing that makes him so great and distinguished from everyone else." And here's the thing, if Daniel were to not pray for 30 days, can you imagine not praying for 30 days as a Christian, how distant you would be from the Lord and how far off you would be? I can't even fathom that. I can't go that long without praying to God. And so they knew that. And they said, look, if he does pray, then he'll be killed and he'll be thrown into the lions. Either way, our problem will be solved, right? No more Daniel. And so they were so jealous of him, because as we read at the very beginning, the king was about to elevate him even more. And you know, that's our God. He wants the best for you, right? He wants to prosper you, yes, in the end, just as he did with Job, just as he will do with Daniel. And the enemy cannot stand it. And so he will come against you in every way, in every form, to try to get you to not be faithful to the things of God. Now, what's interesting is that King Darius would accept their offer. That by some wild stretch of the imagination, that it was a good idea for him to be the only one to pray to, as if he had the power to answer every single prayer as a king. He's just a man. He has no such power. But in his twisted mind, he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't we get everybody to pray only to me, to no one else? You can't pray to any other God. You can't pray to any other man. You can only pray to me. And you have to come to me for your petition. How foolish is King Darius in this moment? He says, all right, that's a good idea. And so we're going to put that into action. Now, O king, in verse 8, it says, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. And so this is quite amazing to me, because he signs this document, and this document says no one can come or no one can pray to any other god or any other man except to King Darius. Yet, the law of the Medes and Persians says once the law is made that it cannot be revoked. So he has to submit to the law of the Medes and Persians while still ascribing to be God and answer everybody else's prayer. This is, you see how crazy this is, right? How, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. And so while he likens himself to God, he's still limited. He has a limited power. And know this too, that as the enemy would attack your life and come against you and try to rob you of your prayer life, that he has a limited power. Amen. He can only do so much. I mean, he can't touch you as a child of God. He might afflict you, right? You might go through some difficulties, but he can only do what God allows him to do. He has a restricted power. He has a limited power. He is not powerful. He is not more powerful than God. God is more powerful, amen? And so his power is very limited. This should encourage us, because we know that God is a loving God and that God would not allow us to be crushed by him. Even though he allowed Job to go through the difficult things that he went through, he's seen the end in Job's life. He's saying, my goal, Job, is to bless you. My goal, Job, is to give you even more than what you started with, but you must go through this test. And we will go through testings in our life, no doubt. We will go through trials and tribulations. The Bible tells us it will be so. But knowing that our God loves us so much that he will not allow those trials and those testings to crush us, we have such a good and faithful God, because Satan's power is limited. Amen? Amen. It's limited. So there's a limit on what King Darius can do, and there's a limit on what the enemy can do to your life. Verse 10 says, when Daniel, and this is what I want to get at this morning, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went. When he knew, he went. It says he went to his house where he had his windows and his upper chamber open to Jerusalem. Now, last week we talked about how worship is not confined to a place, and how you can worship inside your house. You can make your house a place of worship. You can find yourself, you know, maybe at work, and you can have that moment of worship. We find Daniel as an exile living in Babylon, right? Not in his hometown, not in Jerusalem, and he makes his house a place of prayer. He says, I'm going up. Whenever he knew, he went. How many times, and whenever we know something, we hear the bad news from a doctor, that we go to other things? When we hear the news of maybe your son or your daughter wilding out, we go to other things. But whenever Daniel knew, he went to the Lord. He went to the Lord. He knew where he could find his strength. He knew where he could find his answer. Whenever he knew, he went. He didn't go to pills. He didn't go to the bottle. He didn't go to gambling. He didn't go to any other thing. He went to the Lord. Amen. And there's a strength whenever we know that we go. Amen. And we go to him. We don't go to anything else. We run to the Lord. So Daniel finds himself in Babylon. For one, he knew that God was omnipresent, that no matter where Daniel found himself, that God was there. So he's in Babylon, and he says, you know what? You know, I'm in a foreign land, and I'm among foreign people who worship foreign gods, but I found a faithful, loving friend. Whenever I go, whenever I know, I go. Whenever I know him, that things are going wrong, I go to him. Now, you may think, and up to this point, you may think that because Daniel heard the news, because he heard that the document was signed, that's the reason that he went to pray. Up to this point. If you only read up to this point, that's what you might think. But when you read the next verse, it says, when Daniel knew, he went. Oops, sorry, jumping ahead of myself. So whenever he knew, he went. This was his automatic response. Whenever he knew something was wrong, he went to the house of the Lord. Continuing down, verse 10. He says, he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now, when you read this phrase right here, it says, as he had done previously. As he had, meaning before the document was signed, that everyone should pray only to King Darius, before the document had signed, as he had done previously, Daniel went and he prayed. In other words, he had this pattern in his life in which he prayed three times a day to the Lord. And so whenever he heard the news, whenever he knew, he went to the Lord. Now he just had a different direction to pray. But the pattern of prayer had already been established in his life. He already knew, you know what, I can go to the Lord. He's answered my prayer before. He's been there for me time and time again. Whenever I know that things are bad, I'm going to go to the Lord. But it wasn't the fact that the decree was so heavy. It's the fact that this is what he did. This was and the people knew this. The people that were coming against Daniel knew that he was a man of prayer. They would probably see the windows open, and they would probably see Daniel praying every single day, three times a day. Do people know that you are a person of prayer? Like, can they look at your life and say, she's a person of prayer. She prays before the Lord. She knows her God. And that's why she has favor. That's why God has blessed her. Apparently, these guys who are coming after Daniel knew this. Again, they probably seen him. Oh, there he is, praying. Oh, there he is again, praying. There he is again, praying every single day. So that when Daniel knew, he went. Amen. So he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks. So last week we talked about the posture of worship and how we are to humble our hearts. We see this similar thing right here with Daniel as he's humbling himself. He gets on his knees. And what is that? That's just basically saying, God, I don't have the answers. I'm just a man. I don't know. But Lord, you do. It's a posture of humility. It's a posture of saying, I am totally dependent upon you, God. I need you to intervene in my life. If you don't intervene in my life, this is going to go bad for me. I need you, oh God. I'm dependent upon you, oh God. You see the humility in his life. And you know what I like about Daniel is that he didn't stop praying once he knew that the decree went out. He said, oh, well, the king made a decree. You know, that's what the king said. I can't pray to my God anymore. I can't gather in the house of the Lord anymore to worship my God. Daniel's like, I know what the decree says, and I know that you are the king of the land, and I know that as a believer, I am subjected to the authorities that God has placed over my life, but whenever the laws of the land contradict the laws of my God, guess what? I'm picking my God every single time. Amen? He is the higher authority, and we answer to God first and foremost. At the end of the age, whenever we're standing before the Lord, whenever God will, you know, we will give an account of our lives, we stand before God, and we stand before God Almighty. We don't stand before a king. We don't stand before Joe Biden or any other president that came before. We stand before God Almighty. And so whenever the laws of the land contradict the laws of the Bible and what the Bible instructs, I believe the believer is free from the laws of the land because we serve a greater God. Amen. How would it be possible for a man of God, such as Daniel was, to not pray for 30 days and still have a thriving relationship with God? If I was to not talk to my wife for 30 days, how do you think that would go? Not very well. I would be building a doghouse or something and living in it. It would not go well for me, all right? How do we think that we can maintain our relationship with the Lord if we're not spending time in prayer? 30 days. That's what the king says. Daniel says, I hear you 30 days, and I raise it 30 days. I'm going to my house. I'm going to worship my God. I'm going on my knees just as I did before. I'm going to have my windows wide open. If you want to see me, you can see me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If you want to take me out, take me out. If you want to throw me to the lions, throw me to the lions. But I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to pray to him. Yeah. Amen. Do we have that kind of tenacity that says, I know you're coming after my prayer life, but you're not getting it. You're not touching it. My prayer life is too valuable. Amen. Do we have that kind of tenacity to rise up? And whenever the enemy tries to distract us in every single kind of way, trying to rob us, trying to get us busy doing this, get us distracted doing this, trying to steal our time on this and this and that. And the Lord's like, will you spend time with me? Will you humble yourself? Will you come to me in prayer? But yet we allow all these other things to rob us from the very thing that gives us life, that connection to God, that prayer life. So he found himself on his knees and prayed three times a day. This is incredible. Now, Daniel, being that he was like one of the top three, he could have went to the king and said, King, I didn't agree to this. You know, I didn't agree to, I know they said that all the high officials agreed to this decree where no one can pray except to you, O king. I didn't agree to this. Instead of Daniel wasting his time with foolish people, Daniel brought his petition with the Lord, you know, to the Lord. He brought his petition to the Lord, who's actually the one who's able to do something about it. Don't waste your time with foolish people, amen? As the book of Proverbs 23, verse 9 says, don't speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. Don't waste your time with fools. Go to the Lord. Let the Lord handle it. Instead of you trying to handle it yourself, go to the Lord, amen? He's able to do it. And so, real quickly, I want to kind of give you, if we're looking for a model for prayer, if you will, there are some things about Daniel's life, and there are some things about Daniel's prayer life that I believe are helpful to our personal lives. So one of the first things that he does, he proceeds with humility. He bows his knee before the Lord. And it says that he gave thanks, that he rendered thanks. What was he thankful for? That he was about to get eaten by a lion? Would we be that thankful? Would we be thanking God? God, I thank you so much. I'm about to die. Thank you, Lord, that you're sending a lion to eat me. I always wanted to be a snack for a lion. Thank you. You know, we thank God for the good things, like whenever things are going well in our lives. We think, oh, God, thank you for everything. God, you've been so good. But Daniel's about to be a lion snack. And he's like, I'm giving thanks. I'm going to give thanks to my God. Wow. That's incredible. You know, to be facing that much adversity, to be facing the fact that you can about to lose your life, I'm still going to give thanks. Just goes to show that you can find a reason to be thankful in every situation. There's always a reason to be thankful. There's always a reason you can thank God. And so I often, pretty much every time I pray, I start my prayer with a prayer of thanksgiving. God, I thank you for this. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. God, thank you for what you're doing in the church. God, you can always find a reason to be thankful. And so he starts with humility. He continues with rendering thanks to God. And I have to use the word render because, you know, I'm going P-R-A-Y, you know, praise. So R for render. Just bear with me, all right? Just, you know. Anyway, so the next one is that you want to ask your request. And you ask your request to God. You don't pray to the saints. You don't pray to Mary or any such thing. You make your request to God. The Bible says that we can go to God, our Heavenly Father. We pray to him. We pray through Jesus, through what he has done on the cross for us. He is our only mediator. In fact, in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, it says this about Jesus. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So as we humble ourselves and as we render thanks, then we want to ask our requests. And this is the beauty about prayer, that we just, it just boggles my mind each and every time that God would hear our prayer. He holds the universe in the palm of his hand. And just imagine that for a second, how small you are in comparison to God. But yet, he's so near whenever you begin to pray and whenever you begin to ask. The Bible says that we can ask and it shall be given. Seek and we will find. Knock and the doors will be open. He gives us this right as Christians, as believers, to do so. And then finally, the why to this prayer thing would be yes to his will. Sometimes whenever we pray, we want our will to be done, but the Lord has a totally different plan. And he wants to do things that are beyond what we are even thinking about. And while we're praying a certain way, God's like, yeah, I hear your prayer, but I got some other plans. There's all kind of other things I'm wanting to do right now. So your prayer might be a no, or it might be maybe later, or it might be a yes. But ultimately, what we are saying is yes to your will. Lord, let your will be done. Isn't that the prayer that Jesus prayed whenever he was in the garden? He He's like, Father, if it is possible, would you take this cup of suffering from me? In other words, he was as human as you and I are, and he was seeing the cross. It's like, I don't know if my physical body really wants to do that. But then he says, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Whew. That's hard. Your will be done, Lord. His will is not always the easy route. His will is not always roses and peaches and ice cream and rainbows and Skittles and whatever else that you find your happy place in. Often it's persecution and trials and tribulations and saying yes to the will of God. For Daniel, you know what his yes meant? His yes meant that he would be thrown into the den of lions. That's what his yes meant. Whenever he opened up his windows and he went pray 3 times a day, basically he was saying yes to the lions. Like, God, if that's what you want from me, if that is your will for my life, if that is the plan that you have for me, I say yes. Now, let me just say it. These lions were very hungry. They haven't been fed. And so this whole story is even more of a miracle whenever we understand this. But Daniel's yes was a very costly yes. And it's yes to his will. And you know what that means whenever we say yes to his will? It means that we trust him. That we trust him. We know it's going to be hard. We know it's going to be difficult, but we believe in our God. We believe that he is such a good God. God, I'm trusting you. Here's my yes. Verse 11 says, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and pleading before his God. You know, whenever your enemies come and accuse you, let them find you praying and seeking your God. Let them find you so filled with the Holy Spirit. Let them find you clothed in the armor of God. Do you know that prayer is part of the armor that's talked about in Ephesians chapter 6? Let them find you clothed in the armor of prayer, that you would have a life that is covered in prayer. Daniel is found praying and making petitions to his God. Verse 12 says, then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within the 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, the thing shall stand fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, would they say your name? Would they say Mr. Victor? Would they say Amber? Would they say Ralph, Christine? Who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have made, but makes his petition 3 times a day. I want to be that person that says, you know what? If the world would come against me, that they would find me praying, that they would find me faithful to God, that they would find me committed to the things of God regardless, no matter what. He pays no mind to you, O king. These people were so evil. But if Daniel would have gave in to their requests and just not prayed, here's the thing about it. He couldn't. Daniel was not willing to sacrifice relationship for self-preservation. I'll read that again. Daniel was not willing to sacrifice relationship for self-preservation. He's like, if that's what it is, then so be it. Because what is worth saving if we don't have a relationship with God? What are you trying to self-preserve if God's not the center of it? What do you have? We see, like at the end of the story, I'm just going to summarize the end of it. The king, after he realizes that Daniel's in trouble, first of all, you're the king, and you're about to elevate Daniel to the one of the highest positions possible, and you don't know that he is a man of God. You don't know that he prays 3 times a day. Surely you must know this. But whenever he found out that these guys were really coming against Daniel, he realizes, uh-oh, I made a mistake. And so he tries to rescue Daniel. And it's so interesting that he couldn't rescue Daniel because of the law that he made. How foolish is this? You know, how foolish is this law? How foolish is the law of the Medes and the Persians? A law that was made could not be revoked. It was established as so. And so he tries to relieve and deliver Daniel. And then the evil men came and they remind him, no, king, you can't do that. You signed it into law, and whenever it's signed into law, it cannot be revoked. So he pleads all night, and he tells Daniel. So finally, he has to submit to this. He has to throw Daniel into the lion's den because of what he decreed. He has to do it. But look at what he tells Daniel right before he does so. He says, may your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. What was he saying? I can't deliver you. I don't have the power to deliver you. I wrote this law into effect, but I can't do anything about it. I can't help you. And that's one of the points of this story, is that man cannot help you. Amen? Man, God will put you in situations where you find that there is no help for you. And so you look up to the God who cares for you. You look up to the one who's able to rescue your soul. When no one else can deliver you, when no one else can set you free, when no one else can break the bondage or break the chain in your life, you go to Jesus. He's the one. He's the only one. And so the king says, may your God, he's not my God yet, may your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you. Verse 19, it says, then at daybreak, the king rose and he went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Probably went blank for a little while. Daniel's probably just toying with him, I would imagine. If it was me, I would just let him just sit there and wait. Then I would say, O king, as Daniel said, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. What a man of God. Whenever you walk blamelessly before the Lord and your enemy tries to accuse you of certain things and try to discredit you, try to rob you of your prayer life, whatever it may be, they will have no ground to stand on because you will be found righteous. And our righteous judge will vindicate you. He will defend you. He will come to your defense and he will rescue you. Amen? We have no need to fear. Verse 24, it says, and the king commanded. Now I talked about how these lions, they were very hungry. But somehow, God had shut the mouths of these lions. Who's the boss? Who's in control? Not the lion. God's in control. God's able to shut the lion's mouth. This is an absolute miracle, because what we find in verse 24 is that in the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all the bones in pieces. They were hungry. I told you they were hungry. And before they even hit the bottom of the den, they were consumed. Now, I mentioned also earlier that, you know, maybe God did not deliver Daniel as he was expecting. And a lot of times, maybe our prayers don't go answered the way that we're expecting them to go. But God was doing so much more than delivering Daniel from the lion's den. He judged Daniel's enemies, not only judged them, but devoured them. He changes the heart of a king, the king that was over Babylon, a wicked place, who he had just ascribed himself as God by accepting the prayers of the people. He changes the heart of a king. We never know what God is doing on the outside. We never know the big picture of all that he is doing. But look what Darius, King Darius, says. He says in verse 26, I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. Before the God of Daniel, the king came to know God as the God of Daniel. Will the people around you, the people in your sphere of influence, come to know God as the God of McKinley, the God of Joseph, the God of Mr. Leonard, the God of Miss Tina, the God of Victor? Will people know them? Will they come to know God by who you declare that he is and who you live according to? Amen. Will they come to know God as such? God was doing so much more. Changing a heart of a hardened king. And from this decree, as he declares this, this whole nation, whereas before they could not pray to any God, they could not pray to any human being, the king makes the decree, you shall pray and you shall fear the God of Daniel. Laws are changing. Things are taking place that are beyond what Daniel could even have prayed for. And then finally, we also see that God does bless Daniel quite tremendously. Look at it in verse 28. It says, so this Daniel prospered. During the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian, we don't know the plans of God. We don't know the mind of God. And so whenever we pray and we don't see that it's being answered the way that we think it should be answered, know that he has a better plan. Know that he's working. He hears your prayer. Your prayers are not going up in vain. Daniel's prayers were not in vain. It may have seemed like it were for a moment. Whenever he was in that lion's den, he might have said, God, I pray to you faithfully each and every day, three times a day, every day, but yet I'm still in the lion's den. We don't see that because it's not there. Because he was a man of thanksgiving. He was a man who declared thanks upon his lips. He says, even if I'm thrown to the lions, I know my God will deliver me and he will be with me and he will work on my behalf. I know that he hears my prayer even whenever I don't see it happening the way I think it should happen. I'm trusting in you, oh God. I'm trusting in that you hear me and that you will answer me. Your way. Your will be done in my life, oh God, whatever that looks like. I'm praying this prayer, oh God, and I'm praying for health in my body. But Lord, if you decide to make me go through this life and still have this issue in my life, God, I will still trust you. I will still declare you as Lord of my life. I know that your plan is greater than my plan. I don't understand it, Lord God. But I'm trusting in you. I'm saying yes to your will. I'm going to come with humility. I'm going to render thanks. I'm going to ask my petition to my God who loves me and who cares about me. And I'm going to say yes to his will. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word. God, we thank you, Lord, for your scripture. We thank you for the story of Daniel. God, a man who says, I'm going to pray no matter what. God, we're going to carve out time in our busy lives, and we're going to pray no matter what. We're not going to let the enemy or anything try to rob us of our prayer life, because we know that that's where we have our power. That's where we find our strength. And Lord, it's in humility, Lord. It's in our weakness that you are made strong. So Lord, we say yes to your will. And for everyone who has a prayer that they are praying, God, I come in agreement with them, oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just lift up our prayers before you. We know that you are God who hears us. You love us. And sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Help us to trust you no matter what. Lord, to be faithful, to have this pattern in our lives where you are the first thing that we go to, oh God. We don't pick prayer last like the kid on the softball team, but we go to prayer first. We say, I go to you first, oh God. You are my answer. And there is no other, oh God. I come before you, Lord Jesus. You're the only one who's able to help me. You're the only one able to save me. You're the only one able to heal my body. I come to you, Lord Jesus. You alone can save my children. You alone, oh God. I come to you, oh Lord. To no one else. Help us, oh God. Help us, Lord. Teach us to be faithful. This area of prayer, to pray even as Daniel prayed, faithfully, even three times a day, whatever it takes. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, just be with your people, Lord, this week. Be with them in their daily lives. Lord, we know it's tough out there. We know that as kids are going back to school, they are in environments that's hard to be a Christian. Lord, would you just give them the power and the strength to do so? Would you just encourage them, Lord, by your might, by your power, oh Lord? Fill them, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, for those who are going back in the workplace, Lord, be with them, oh Lord, in this very secular environment. Lord, we hold on to you as our hope. We hold on to you as our answer, oh God. And we know that as we put our faith and our hope in you, that you will see us through. Lord, you will shut the mouths of lions. And we will come out victorious as the church of the living God. We trust you, and we say yes to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We just want to give you two opportunities to join us in corporate prayer every Sunday at 9:30. Mr. McKinley leads a prayer group. And guys, what if we packed out the place next Sunday and just said, Lord, we're going to take this serious. And then on Mondays as a church, we fast and pray together. So would you join us? This sanctuary is open tomorrow. We'll have music playing from 9 until 5. So just grab an hour. If you have a 30-minute lunch break, come in and we just pray. You can pray over chairs. You can pray for your family, whatever the Lord puts at your heart. You can just sit at the altar and just, sometimes I just weep before him. But we want to encourage you. Let's be people of prayer. And so join us fast. We always continue in our fasting, whatever the Lord would specifically put on your heart. But one meal tomorrow to say, okay, God, I'm taking my prayer life to another level. I'm going to be a person who goes, and whenever times get tough, I'm going to do what the Lord says, and that is to pray. So I want to encourage you to join us in those prayers. We love you guys, and see you this Wednesday at 6:30 for discipleship.